Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Charlotte has long taken pride in referring to itself as the City of Trees. The city's logo once prominently featured a tree, and a tree was once depicted on the sides of all of our buses. Experts say we still live in what can be termed an urban forest, but the size and density of that forest is declining fast. We are losing an estimated 3 football fields of trees every day. Some of that is due to aging, as older trees die and younger trees grow slowly to replace them. But much is due to development. So as Charlotte grows, many of our trees have fallen. Of course, this has not gone unnoticed, and the city has placed protecting what remains of our canopy high on their list of priorities. We have a long-standing goal of building up the coverage of that canopy by 50% by 2050. But is that goal attainable? Is there anything you or I can do to help ensure the health of the trees that remain? We explore that this hour with Tim Porter. He is Chief Urban Forester and Staff Lead for the City of Charlotte's Tree Canopy Policy Initiatives. He also is the manager of the city's Community Tree Preservation Division. Tim, thank you for being with us. Good morning.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning.
Laurie Reed is the City of Charlotte's arborist. She and her staff work to plant and protect over 200,000 street trees located in the public rights-of-way and to educate all of us on tree care and protection, which she will take a stab at doing this hour for us. Laurie, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
And Jane Myers is also with us. She is Executive Director of Trees Charlotte. That's a tree-focused nonprofit working to grow, diversify, and steward our urban forest. Jane, thank you for joining us, too.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So, Tim, the President of the United States got a shot at making the State of the Union address. The governor did his State of the State address a couple of weeks ago. Now it's your turn. What is the state of Charlotte's tree canopy?
Well, that's a big responsibility.
You have an hour.
Well, it's growing, it's declining, it's a dynamic resource. I would say that there's a lot of interest in it right now of what we should do moving forward. But it's facing many threats. Tree canopy is a dynamic thing. It's always growing and declining. And our situation in Charlotte, it's one of our greatest natural resources. And there's large pockets that are aging tree canopy, mature forests, forested areas that are mostly mature trees. And they're aging out. They're definitely impacted by development, but also pollution and just natural lifespan. Development is also a cause for decline and impacts. That's not the only thing, but it's definitely a large, you know, impact on tree canopy.
And I know that the that you and others and ordinary citizens like me, when we have to take a tree down, we are encouraged to plant a new one in its place. And I'm sure that's what the city is involved in doing too. I mean, I'm just curious. We have these towering oaks that are our tree canopy, but when you plant a new tree, it's about as tall as me. So does that count as part of the canopy until it grows up? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We count that. And technology now, when we do our analyses or satellite or canopy analysis, can detect individual trees that are, you know, 4 to 6 feet in height. And we can tell if that's a tree or a shrub, or our consultants can. And so that goes into the big calculation of canopy or no canopy. Yeah.
So, Jane, Trees Charlotte, your nonprofit, gave a presentation to Charlotte City Council in the beginning of March about what the future might hold for our trees. What is your organization's assessment of that?
Well, we're very pleased to be working closely in great partnership with the city on determining how to best approach all this. Our belief is we see from the research that we're losing about 0.5% annually. You know, the sad news is that we're losing trees, but we're also growing trees, which is where we get net neutral on, or we get a net out of 0.5%. But we see that it's the citizens we need to help with this problem. Majority of the loss is on residentially zoned areas. The city owns less than 10% of property. So we really need private property owners, homeowners, to help us make a significant impact so we get net neutral and then we get to growth.
I want to point out for those people who only have black and white radios that you have green Venetian blinds behind you. That's not part of our canopy, though. I just want to mention that. Laurie, I mentioned that we like to think of ourselves as the city of trees. And when I read through the presentation given by Tim Porter to the City Council's Transportation Planning and Development Committee earlier this month, it had a City of Trees logo on the report. So for newcomers, yes. Tell them why we have embraced this idea of being a city of trees and why it is so important to both residents and to this city's identity.
Sure, yeah. So I think that's the one thing that I always hear when people come to visit Charlotte, especially when you fly in. It looks like we're just a city coming out of the forest, so a city of trees. So we've always valued the tree canopy. Tree planting efforts happened in the early 1900s to help bring us back from historically agriculture and mills to now what we have with residential and forested areas. Trees just provide so much for us. You know, most kids learn they provide oxygen, they take in carbon dioxide, but they do so much small things that people don't think about. Having trees on your property increases your property value. People want to spend more time shopping in areas where there's trees along the street. People that bike, people that walk, they like a shaded sidewalk to be able to get out there. You know, it provides us cool during the summertime when it's very hot here in Charlotte, as we all know, it can get super hot. And then also some small health benefits trees provide too that people don't think about. Reduces your stress level. Children in school that are exposed to trees can concentrate better. The test scores are usually higher. Some countries actually prescribe forest bathing. So go out, spend time in the forest, relax to reduce your stress level. So just small things that people don't think about that trees give us.
Okay. And we'll come back to some of those small things as we go through the program, because they are important. And maybe perhaps a lot of people don't think about them or don't consciously think about them. They're aware of them, but it doesn't register as a conscious thought. It's estimated, as I said, and I think this is accurate, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, that we're losing about the equivalent of about 3 football fields worth of trees every single day, which sounds like an enormous amount. But when our Eli Portillo was still at the UNC Charlotte Urban Institute, he published an article which said that no one can say with any certainty whether our tree loss has accelerated, slowed down, or remains unchanged in recent years. Do you know?
I don't know for certain, and that's why in that presentation to council last week or a couple weeks ago, is we're proposing to partner with Tree Charlotte to complete an updated new canopy analysis countywide to determine what the trends are. We know from 12 to 18, our canopy declined about 4%, about 8,000 acres of net loss. And that's where that football field tagline comes from. So it's concerning. I think the eyeball test suggests to most people that we may still be on that trend. So we really want to know how much it's declining and where and why. And we realized that in the last analysis that we were surprised that most of the canopy decline was found incrementally in residential areas, lot by lot. So we want to study that in more detail. Is that largely driven by infill development, or is it a blend of development and aging canopy and homeowner decisions? So that's where we're at right now.
In the study that your department conducted in 2018, they discovered that the canopy coverage fell from 49% of the city to 45% of the city in the 6 years that lapsed from 2012 to 2018. A, is that a lot? And B, do you know what it was prior to 2012, say in the late 80s or 90s?
It is a lot. I mean, 3 football fields a day is definitely a lot. And that's, 49 to 45% drop. So 49% of the city in 2012 was covered. And prior to that, we get into this gray time of canopy analysis technology and aerial imagery of being a little bit suspect. The resolution is getting, 33 plus feet. So you're not sure if that's really a tree or a road or a mailbox, but I think it's safe to say that the canopy, based on earlier analyses from 2002 and 2008, suggests that Mecklenburg County might have been covered up to 75% to 80% by tree canopy. So it is it's alarming to see that we're still declining. So we want to find that right balance and how to, sustain, protect, and preserve. As Jane said, neutrality is a very important topic to consider.
But Jane, how can you preserve? We are a growing city with thousands of people moving here every year and buildings going up and skyscrapers in what used to be residential neighborhoods. How can you stop it? How can you keep it going?
Yeah, I've read a report recently that said Charlotte's the third fastest growing major city in the country. So we definitely have a significant task in front of us. I think the way we're approaching it is raising awareness, and being this type of opportunity helps, because we understand people typically see trees as kind of in the background and the white noise and don't really understand all the wonderful values that they contribute. So I think preservation or keeping trees sustainable is so important, because we already have such a significant urban forest. If we give the care that trees need, they can be here a lot longer. But we also have to plan for natural life, and so planting trees is really important as well. But my hope and my drive with Tree Charlotte's next 5 and 10 years is raising awareness so that everybody wants to be a part of the solution.
Jane Myers is with Tree Charlotte. Tim Porter and Laurie Reed are with the City of Charlotte. And we'll come back and learn more about our trees and what you can do to help them in their efforts to preserve them when we come back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. We're talking trees today with Tim Porter. He is the chief urban forester for the City of Charlotte. Laurie Reed is the city arborist for the City of Charlotte. And Jane Myers is executive director of a nonprofit that works on the same efforts that these two folks do. And that is Tree Charlotte works on the trees, the preservation of the trees. I'm just curious, Laurie, the difference between the city arborist, and the chief urban forester. You're the arborist. Tim's the forester. Yeah. What's the difference?
Sure. So I am the city arborist. I work at landscape management, and we manage all the trees located between the street and the sidewalk. So the trees in the public right of way, trees on city-owned property like Old City Hall, the government center, several different properties. We have some preservation properties around the city. So publicly owned lands is what we do at landscape management. And the urban forestry group where Tim works, they work with development. So they do regulation of the tree ordinance, ensuring when development comes in, trees are protected, trees are planted to comply with the city ordinance. So and we are managing those 200,000 trees in the right.
And we've done shows on trees in the past because we are a city of trees, and every
That's
once
right.
in a while we like to catch up on this. And I've asked this question before, but I'll ask it again for the benefit of people who weren't around or didn't live here in those previous shows, or maybe you missed them. How unusual is it for a city to have an official city arborist? Or a forester, for that matter.
A lot of larger cities do have city arborists and or urban foresters. I think what's unusual about the city of Charlotte is the amount of International Society of Arboriculture certified arborists that we have working within the city of Charlotte. So the staff that I get to work with, we have a very highly trained staff. We have received this certification. So you get this through the International Society of Arboriculture, you take an exam, you have to get continuing education credits every 3 years to keep up your certification. We also have tree risk assessment qualifications. So that's a separate qualification that you can receive as well. So it just helps us to understand, looking at trees, looking at any hazards they may present, if there was any failure, what they might hit and what the consequences might be. So it's something that we pride ourselves on with the City of Charlotte, the number of certified arborists.
You have a big staff. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah,
at least to
sure.
me, it's a big staff. Jane, your predecessor at Tree Charlotte, Chuck Cole, once said that it can be difficult to get people to understand the benefits of a healthy tree canopy, especially because we have so many more trees than many of our peer cities. He said people open the front door and see plenty of trees and say, "What's the problem?" So I'm sure that you agree with that. But so how do you get people to care?
Oh, that's a great. I love Chuck. He's got away with words and should from his background for sure. But I agree with that. I usually tell people it's funny. There's a belief that everybody loves trees, and I actually think leveraging or building off of Chuck's quote, I think everybody loves trees in other people's yards, and they struggle with the trees that are in their yards. Because we often hear there's a fear that, oh, the tree's going to fall on my house and that sort of thing. So I would pivot on just saying, I think with Lori's answer, very eloquently describing what the certified arborist can do, we really try to make sure citizens call certified arborists when they're evaluating the trees in their yards, because truly certified arborists are doing it because they love the trees and they want to make sure they do whatever they can to keep our current canopy, to keep our current trees. But I think it's just continuing to talk about the benefits. To answer your question fully, I think I still, almost 2 years in, have a list 2 pages long of all the different things trees do for us. There are little miracles, whether it's, mental health, physical health, the changes in the environment when storms happen. I mean, they are truly our little miracles and gifts that we need to, they give to us all day, we need to give to them.
Well, you bring up some interesting points. Laurie, you mentioned some of the benefits of yeah. trees. Obviously, shade is one of them in the summertime yes. during our extremely hot summers. And behind the scenes, as those leaves provide shade, they're also soaking up carbon monoxide and other pollutants, and they're cleaning the air. You mentioned that the presence of trees reduces anxiety in a lot of people, lowering their stress levels. But I read yesterday that they can also help to lower crime rates.
Yes.
Is that true?
That's right. That How? Is true. Yes. So I think it's the presence of trees being there. And I also think too, trees make people want to be outside in the community. So you have more people around, you have more people observing. I think that's part of it as well. So it's not just a vacant street. It's the community coming out and being outside. So the city of Baltimore did a study on that, which I think is just absolutely fascinating, that these, as Jane said, these little miracles, these workhorses, they're doing all this in the background. And we don't think about that. Kind of little hidden secrets of what the trees will give us.
And of course, they provide habitat preserves and things like that. Yes. Everybody loves birds. Not so much the squirrels, but everybody loves
yes.
birds.
That's right. I know.
The city is working on this. Trees Charlotte is working on this. How do your two efforts differ, Jane?
I think being an independent nonprofit that where we like you have to raise the money to run our operations gives us an opportunity to be more directly involved with the citizens and work specifically and directly with communities. So where we are seeing a lower canopied area is in the divested communities. And so we're working, we want to help all trees in Charlotte and we work with all communities, but we're trying to have a targeted effort within the lower canopied areas, which are the historically, redlined areas, so that we can help grow the canopy there where you have the industrialization and mining and those different type of practices where it's harder for trees to be. So as a nonprofit, I think we have the agility and the opportunity to kind of go where we're being called to when we're called, as much as funds allow. And that's really how we're looking to evolve and go deeper with our community and not just be transactional, but create relationships so that we create a better relationship for community members with their trees through our partnership.
And Laura, you mentioned that one of your primary jobs is to deal with the trees in Charlotte's rights of way.
That's right.
I would guess that's along the curb line and in places like Myers Park, where they have a median up Queens Road that's full of trees, had more trees before Hugo. And people don't realize that Myers Park was farmland before it was built. Those trees were all put there purposefully.
They were.
And have matured since then.
Yeah, and the size of the tree, no, I apologize. The size of the trees, it wasn't, a small tree. These trees were 8-9 inches across. So they were actually dug up from creek banks and put there. That's pretty big trees.
So how many trees do we have in our rights of way? And the reason you put that you deal with the rights of way is because that's public property. It's not private property. How many trees do we have?
Right. So we estimate we have about 200,000. So right now, for the past 2 years, we've been working with a contractor to do an inventory of all of the trees located within the rights of way. So probably by the end of May, the contract right now is to survey the rights of way. So we expect to have that first 100,000 trees surveyed. So what they're doing is they're going into specific geographical areas working around the city, and they're locating the trees, making, you know, getting the exact location and time and space, measuring their width, looking at their health, if they need to be pruned, if there's any defects in the trees, making notes on that, making sure we have the right species. So for us, knowing exactly where that tree is located and what work may need to be done to keep it as healthy as possible is really important. We're going to continue that inventory next year and the year after that. So hopefully within 4 years, we'll have the entire city of Charlotte inventoried. So we'll have a really good hold.
But the largest number. The largest number of trees, Tim, has to be on private property and still forested yes. areas, if there are any, in Mecklenburg County. So that's your job to keep track of all of that and check up on the health and whether it's decreasing or staying stabilized or increasing. You have this goal that the city adopted to increase the tree canopy by 50% by 2050. That was back in 2012, I think, that they adopted that. And since then, the canopy has decreased. So I ask you if that is a doable, achievable goal.
I don't think so, Mike. I don't think it's attainable to citywide get 50%, just based on everything that's happening in Charlotte. I don't think we want that either. 50% really? Is one metric. So the goal is very general and high level. And where we are now as a society, we know, as Jane mentioned, equity is not the same for tree canopy across the city. So we want to look at scalable goals, neighborhood, regional, and citywide. And industry experts don't recommend a citywide coverage goal anymore as your primary target. They recommend, as I said earlier, scalable goals. So that's what we're trying to do in the multi-pronged approach that we have. Of, we can't regulate our way to tree canopy goals, but that's one of the biggest tools we have. So the UDO is taking a really good step to do that, the Unified Development Ordinance, and then other efforts from groups like Jane's group and Lori's team to maintain and plant more trees. We're trying to combine all those focus areas, if you will, to really, you know, move the needle forward. And over the next 2 years, we will be looking at a new canopy analysis that will be the baseline for community engagement to determine if we are going to walk away from 50 by 50 and what our new canopy goal will be.
Well, that was going to be my next question. If 50 by 50 is not a reasonable goal, not an achievable goal, and perhaps an incorrect goal to aim for, how would you describe what the goal should be? And do you have a definition for that yet, or will you have to wait for the analysis to come out?
We don't have a definition. There's been a lot of talk internally and, you know, with partners like Tree Charlotte and in the community. 50 by 50 was a great call to action. It was determined to be attainable at the time, but also a call to action. And it really was successful in that call to action. But we're at another crossroads moment now where we need to look at everything the community wants. There's been a lot of stakeholder engagement the last few years, the comprehensive plan, community area planning is coming online. There's gonna be a lot of engagement. And so we need to really listen to the community to figure out what they want in their neighborhoods. So what we have a loose understanding of what we think will make sense. And that is scalable goals that include canopy coverage for different types of land use. Residential areas can have higher canopy. Uptown, for example, there's no way to attain 50%. There's just too many buildings and roads. We want to have planting goals in those neighborhoods to, as Lori mentioned earlier, shade over sidewalks and greenways and things like that. We want to have goals that say 90% or higher of every sidewalk is covered in canopy, as example. So we really want to take a more diverse and dynamic approach on a different scales, but also different targets, not just canopy cover, but planting, maintenance, preservation. The City Council's comprehensive plan really emphasizes greater preservation through efforts like the Tree Canopy Preservation Program the city has. We're trying to get as many efforts going forward to figure out what makes sense for the community.
I think it was Eugene that mentioned some people are people like trees on other people's property, but they're scared of the ones on their property because they're afraid that the tree might fall on their house. Heck, it could fall on the next door neighbor's house too, I suppose. What would you say to those folks? Are there regular regimens of tree health inspection that you recommend property owners take upon themselves to do? Jane?
Yeah, thank you. It's important like to always work with a certified arborist. I think, I even had that first experience when I bought my first house in Charlotte. I had this huge oak. It was 2003. It was a year after that big ice storm came through, and we're out for power for days till a week. And oh, this tree's gonna fall on my house. And thankfully, I called a certified arborist who said, "Oh, please don't take this tree down. It's real for everybody that you have that fear until you know," which is why awareness is so important. Education is so important. And you talk the guy I talked to, the arborist who came out said, "You don't need to call me for 5 more years. They will work with you to help you understand if they are truly certified and trained in that." That's my biggest recommendation.
So, Laura, you are a certified arborist and you work with 19 others in the city. Do you help individual homeowners? Or are you strictly devoted to the rights of way?
So our work group, we do work strictly within the right of way.
So,
But when we,
what can people look
yeah.
for that they would know they should call a certified
Sure.
arborist?
Yeah, definitely. So, like Jane said, awareness and education, we're getting our education campaign out, and we are planning to do a storm awareness class for people to come in to learn about, we call them red flags. What are the big things to start looking for? So we're planning that right now. I'm aiming for May or June to get that class out, to invite people to come to our facility at Landscape Management to learn, to know what to look for, and to actually walk around our grounds and show them what are things to look for. So some of the things to look for are looking for cavities, looking for holes in the trunk of the tree. That would be something to let you know that there's some sort of decay inside that tree. So any kind of opening in the trunk of the tree, whether it's at the ground or up higher, you definitely want to get a certified arborist to look at that to see what it looks like. If you've had large limbs that have fallen off in the past, that might be a tree that you need to look at on a more regular basis. So definitely, knowing those red flags. But like I said, we're going to have a class. We want to have a training to help homeowners feel comfortable about that.
Tim, I know you want to get in, but you'll have to get in after the break. So hold that thought. We'll come back and talk about that. We'll talk about trees and their impact on the climate because we know the climate is changing and getting hotter. Another reason to keep the trees around. And we'll talk about some of these plans that have come up in the course of this conversation that might help you do your jobs. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAE.org. We're talking trees in Charlotte, the city of trees, with Tim Porter, the chief urban forester for the city, Lori Reed, the city's chief arborist, and Jane Myers, executive director of Trees Charlotte. We were talking about, I forgot what we were talking about now, quite honestly, but we were talking about, oh, what homeowners can do to look out for diseased trees or trees that might need the help of a certified arborist. And Tim, I know you wanted to add to that, so now's your shot.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, briefly wanted to add to that great information that Lori was sharing is that the city has listened to the community the last, 5 years, and there's been a lot of interest in having support and assistance for taking care of their trees. So right now there's a pilot project going on led by Lori's team. And in the future, the comprehensive plan and the Unified Development Ordinance adopted by City Council mandate this new canopy care program where the city will be working with partners to provide a level of support for residents and property owners to take care of any large hazardous trees. So we hope to get that program off the ground in the next 1 to 2 years in a robust way.
So would that help monetarily? Because trees are expensive. Maintaining trees can be
Yes.
expensive, and if you have to take out a big tree, it can really be expensive. So you're talking about monetary help to
Monetary
citizens?
help, contractor assistance. Yeah, the heritage tree regulation that was adopted in the Unified Development Ordinance requires mitigation and The mitigation fees collected during that process would support the canopy care program to help folks take care of trees on their property and replant trees too. We want to make sure it's a sustainable, holistic
approach. So define heritage tree, because I had never heard that term, and I discovered after I had to take a diseased tree out of my yard that it was a heritage tree, and it might have qualified for some help because it was so big that if three people opened their arms and tried to touch their fingertips around the trunk of this tree, they might not have been able to do it.
Sounds like that definitely might have been a heritage tree.
Kinda.
So the good news is technically heritage trees won't exist and be regulated until June 1st of this year. That's when the Unified Development Ordinance is implemented. So a heritage tree is a native species to North Carolina, and that's defined by the U.S. Forest Service. And we have lists and resources for folks to utilize to check on that. So native tree that's 30 inches in diameter at about chest height. And if it's that size and it's a native species, it's protected in the Charlotte city limits. And this is a new regulatory area we're stepping into on June 1st, because this is not triggered by development only. It's just on June 1st at midnight, every heritage tree within the city is going to be protected and will need a permit to be removed, whether it's development or just a property owner making a decision about their property. And there's mitigation required for that.
And that permit will cost money. So you're telling the homeowner to buy the permit and then pay for the removal?
Well, it's a relaxed preservation requirement right now. So if somebody wants to remove a tree, they'd have to get a permit from the city. And these would be low-cost permits from the neighborhood of $100, $150.
Yeah, low-cost is in the eye of the pocketbook holder.
That's very true. That's very true. And one of the reasons why we want to get this canopy care program off the ground is to have a holistic approach here. So it's $500 mitigation fee, and you have to replant one tree. Unless the tree is declining and dead or hazardous, then trees can be removed without a permit, and there's no mitigation required. But to remove a healthy heritage tree, there's mitigation requirements, and there's certainly a cost impact to developers and to general property owners and residents.
Let's talk about climate and climate change. We know that the shade that trees provide in the summertime can really impact a homeowner, because if you have a shade over your house, the air conditioning is not going to run as often or as much as it would. But is that just localized? In other words, if we have a healthy, large, expansive tree canopy, Tim, is the ambient temperature of Charlotte actually lower than it would be without that canopy?
Generally, yes. It's very localized. It's a very localized, focused effect. But it can have a greater impact across wider swaths of Charlotte. And yes, absolutely.
So in other words, we have this heat island with Uptown. And I think a lot of the storms that come our way every summer that kind of hit Charlotte and then go around are going around because of the air circulating upward from the heat island that is Uptown, and it blocks rain from coming through. So that increases drought in some areas, and it's wider. That area of this is my amateur meteorologist observation here, but that area that causes the heat island of downtown Charlotte causes is wider than the area of downtown itself. Is that true? Would more trees give us cooler temperatures, perhaps more rain? Would it be as hot and dry? Or am I just imagining this?
Not sure I can speak to the high-level approach, but I think that's a great example of how we want to be more targeted and scalable in our goals, because we know in places like Uptown, pedestrians are going to be in focused areas. So that's where we want to get the tree coverage. We know we can never get 50% coverage in Uptown, but can we get 100% coverage of all sidewalks and connector trails and you know, open space that are people are congregating and gathering in? So that's kind of an example of localized. We can have a positive impact. I can't speak to like the greater geographic area of Uptown.
And we know, I mean, the Amazon rainforest, I guess, is a good example that is the lungs of the planet, and trees have a role to play, not just in the Amazon rainforest. So the more healthy and the more widespread and the denser we can keep our tree canopy in Charlotte, we're playing a role in helping the planet. Would that be accurate, Laurie?
Yes, I definitely think that would be accurate. You know, a lot of studies have found that having a tree canopy can reduce temperatures by 20 degrees. And so having that shade over the sidewalks, over the asphalt, you know, uptown, the buildings are much taller, right? We're not going to get the shade over, right. The trees aren't going to grow over our huge, tall buildings there. But, you know, all those things, impervious surfaces are absorbing that heat and then reflecting it back at night. So as much as we can do to get that canopy coverage, to reduce that amount that gets reflected every night, the better it's just going to be across.
And one of your jobs is to encourage people to plant trees on their property, and then you add them to the city's, or they add them to the city's tree inventory. The inventory is called Tree by Tree. How, if I plant a tree tomorrow, how do I add that to the tree inventory?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, charlottenc.gov/trees. That's our landscape management. That's our tree management website. Scroll down a little bit, you'll see Tree by Tree, and you can actually look at our public street tree inventory. There's little dots, different colors of the different species. You create a sign-in. There's a tutorial on there to teach you how to do all this. And then you can add your tree. It'll come up as a square. Our trees are circles on that map. And you can add your tree there. So that's just helping us to learn. And for us, it's the engagement. It's the awareness. It's getting people interested, being invested in our tree canopy, even on our their public property. We think they're just going to be more involved and be more willing to plant more trees and to help protect those trees and preserve them.
Jane, you mentioned something I don't think people know much about it. I certainly didn't know about it till I read something from Trees Charlotte yesterday, and that is most tree loss is primarily in white, wealthy, middle-class areas of South Charlotte, like Dilworth and Myers Park, because they have more trees than anybody else in town. And lower-income areas have always had fewer trees, so they're not getting any of the benefits that trees provide. And as the climate heats up, their neighborhoods are warming too, which impacts their energy consumption, and they are the folks who can least afford to crank up the air conditioning, if they have it at all. So talk to me about the attention being focused on building the canopy in those areas.
Yeah, it's a fantastic point. And I would add to the reason that I also tell people it's important to be trying to help with tree equity in the divested communities is because you often see higher heat-related illnesses, such as heart disease, asthma, that are triggered by higher heats, so higher temperatures. So an even greater sell as to why it's so important to grow our canopy in our divested areas to help with those type of health concerns. But we have a program called Community Woods, where we will partner with any entity that has a capacity to plant at least 25 trees or more. And we will, whether it's a church or a civic organization or just even a neighborhood, we're starting this summer, we're starting to work with specific neighborhoods and trying to get into planting on private properties within a neighborhood. So going to homeowners, hanging door tags, knocking, canvassing, just the old fashioned way to get folks to allow us to plant a tree on their front yard. And so if we can be successful in those new ventures that we're adding or initiatives that we're adding, I think we can really move the dial and offset for the mature trees that are there. Because that is where while it is lower canopied, they do have a lot of mature trees that need care and that will eventually age out. So we need to be thoughtful to planning for that process as well. And as we usually say, it takes 5 years to plant a tree and, you know, 10 years to grow it so that it becomes truly beneficial in shade.
We asked people before this program started if they had any questions about trees particular to Charlotte to send them to us, and people have been doing that. Kate emails, please discuss how rules that reduce space between the street and the building have impacted our tree canopy. There is no longer room for street trees in many places where that space has shrunk. I'm not certain who to ask that of, but maybe Laurie, because you're nodding there.
Well, yeah. So that is always something to think about whenever you're planting a tree, is making sure you have that horizontal room. So, you know, a tree like an oak tree is going to get 40, 50 feet wide, right? So making sure we have enough physical space for that tree to grow is really important. So creating that space, and Tim, you can speak about it because it does have to do with regulations.
Thanks, Laura. Yeah, so I wanted to quickly mention that All new regulations require street tree planting if a development triggers regulations. There may be, you know, shorter spaces now, and certainly in more dense areas where housing is a priority. But there's a requirement to have trees planted between, you know, the street and buildings to ensure we have that important street tree canopy.
Well, as long as we're talking about requirements and rules and regulations, I'm curious, because this has come up in the conversation. You brought it up a couple of times, Tim, how the Charlotte Future 2040 Comprehensive Plan and the UDO will impact homeowners, private property owners, when it comes to trees.
Well, the heritage tree regulation is certainly one of the biggest impacts. We're stepping into two new regulatory areas. We're starting to regulate residential infill, something we haven't done in the past. So that's going to require planting a street tree for every 40 feet of road frontage. So that will impact home builders, but also property owners who are DIY and they're doing some of the work themselves. That'll be a cost they'll have to incur to plant a street tree. Heritage trees is also a regulation that's going to impact folks. Now, folks can typically remove those trees if they demonstrate a conflict for an improvement or a structure they want to install, or just in general, they want to remove a tree. They'll have the ability to do that. But again, we saw so much canopy decline in those areas. The regulation requires replanting and a mitigation fee. So there's a direct impact on the pocket for residents and homeowners and home builders.
And I didn't know we had one. I guess maybe in the back of my mind I did, but Melanie emails, is the annual tree sale coming back? Who conducted that? Was that the city?
I'm not familiar with the annual tree sale, but okay. We, Tree Charlotte, offers tree adoptions we give away 3,500 trees in a planting season. Now that's the end of September, 1st of October through March. And you can register for 2 free trees at any adoption. I encourage people to please come take advantage of that. Like y'all say, they're free for citizens, not free for us, but they're free for citizens. So that's the best way to get free trees.
That could be what she's referring to. I only have seconds left here, but Tim, given the fact that we are losing trees, given the fact that you don't think the 50 by 50 is reasonable, are there any things that you would encourage homeowners, property owners to do right now that could help you in your efforts to maintain the canopy?
Plant a tree. Think about a tree in the right place for it. It could provide so many benefits, like Lori mentioned. Go get a free one from Jane. You know, they're giving them away, and it's a great opportunity. You can get a flowering tree, you can get a mature tree, but the majority of our canopy is on private property. So we really want to encourage folks to be aware and plant a tree. And, you know, we're going to help out in the future to maintain those with some of our new programs.
Tim Porter is the chief urban forester for the city of Charlotte. Laurie Reed is the city arborist, one of many, but she's the chief for the city of Charlotte. And Jane Myers is executive director of Trees Charlotte. Thank you all for the hour. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.